This week I was driving Rav Weinberger to YU on Monday. Rav Weinberger received a call from someone from the shul that his wife just had a baby. So quickly, Rav Weinberger realized that means the bris would be taking place this coming Rosh Hashanah. And we're trying to figure out all the various situations, upstairs, downstairs, when to do it, before the shofar, after tefillah. And he explained to the individual on the phone that there's a big Indian Shulchan Aruch halacha. Shulchan Aruch writes Malin ben Kriyas HaTorah L'Tkiyas HaShofar, that the idea when a bris milah falls out on Rosh Hashanah, even though normally the bris milah takes place after davening on any other day of the year, when it falls out in Rosh Hashanah, we're Malin ben Kriyas HaTorah before Tkiyas HaShofar. We delay all of davening and we perform the bris in the middle of davening. We have to figure out various other factors, people are going to get there, finding a moa. So we spent that day various phone calls with the different parties involved. Then later that evening we find out that there's another bris, Baruch Hashem, in the shul that needs to take place in Rosh Hashanah as well. So now the upstairs meeting, the downstairs meeting, finding the same moel, walking for Rockway, a lot of complicated factors. So I figured I'd discuss the topic of what happens when the bris milah falls out in Rosh Hashanah. And this inyan that the Shulchan Aruch writes, based on Hagos HaShri and based on Orz HaRuah, that ideally we're supposed to be mal, the child, bein Kriyas HaTorah, the Tkiyas HaShofar, right before Shofar blow. So there are four reasons that I came across in the Rishonim, the Poskim, as to why we do it right before Shofar. So the Vush writes that although normally we do the Bris Milah after davening on any other day, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, since Rosh Hashanah davening is so long, Ein Mamtinin Ad Yitzias Mibeis Knesset, we don't wait until Shul's over, like we do on any other Shabbos or Yom Tif or weekday. Because Rosh Hashanah, we're marichin harbi beis knesses. We're so delayed, there's so much davening and singing, Rosh Hashanah, and oftentimes, he says, or at least sometimes, the bris milah won't take place until after chatzos. And there's a big inyan, tzrichin, you're supposed to lamul kodem chatzos. You're supposed to do the bris milah prior to chatzos, and the reason is because zrizim makadimim lemitzos. We know by every mitzvah, when a person has the first chance to do it, you're supposed to do the mitzvah right away, because it's Rizus. So when it comes to Bris Milah, we're supposed to do it prior to Chatzos. And Bris Milah, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, is the source of all Zerizim Makdim Lemitzos. The Braisa says in Pesachim Davdalin, Kol Hayom Kula Kosher Lemitzos. A person is allowed to perform the Bris Milah any time during the day. Yotze. Ella Shezrizim Makdimim Lemitzos. There's an Indian to do Zerizus, just like Avram Avinu, Vayashkem, Avram Baboke, he woke up early to perform the Bris Milah, so too any other Bris we're supposed to do early in the morning. Now the truth is, it doesn't say Vayashkem, Avram Baboke, anytime next to Bris Milah. It says a few places in Parshas Vayera, nowhere does it say by Bris Milah. It says it when he woke up early to do Akedas Yitzchak. It says when he woke up early to destroy for, to daven for Stone Vamora. It says it early, he woke up early to send away Hagar. But never did it say it by Bris Milah. But still Chazal understood that Mestama, if you did it by these in Yonim, that Avram also, Vayashkem Avram Baboker, by Bris Milah as well. So you see that Bris Milah, according to the Gemara, is the source of all Zerizus. So certainly, the Bris Milah itself should be done in such a way, and we shouldn't wait until after Chatzos. Therefore, says Lavush, that's why we do it before Shofar, as to not violate this din. That's answer one. The other explanation is found in the Gra. The Gra on the Shulchan Aruch there in Simin Tav Kuf Pei Dalet on this din, the Gra writes, look at the Gemara Zvachim Daf Tzadi Aleph regarding Karban Pesach, hu adin legabi shofar. What's the Gemara talking about in Zvachim? Zvachim Perikah Tadir talks with the din of Tadir, Vishenu Tadir, Tadir Kodim. That which comes more frequently comes before that which comes less frequently. So the Gemara there says, talks about which is more Tadir. Is the Karim Pesach Tadir? Or is the Bris Milah Tadir? Now, on one hand, Karim Pesach is a Chiv once a year. There's never a Chiv for Bris Milah. If it happens to fall out, so then you do the Bris Milah, but there's no Chiv once a year Bris Milah. Tadir applies something that happens on a regular basis. If Bris Milah doesn't come, there's no periodical time that it comes. It comes whenever it comes. But usually Tadir is something that constantly comes. For example, do we say L'dav Hashem Oriya Barchi Nafshi first? Which one comes first? So on Rosh Chodesh Elul, do we say L'dav Hashem Ori? We say it for 50 days or so. Or do you say Barchi Nafshi comes once every 12? It's only 12 times in the year, but it comes more frequently. But there's a chiyuv to say it. Brit Mila, there's no chiyuv like set dead. There's no set zman. So what the Gemara says is that Mila legavi Pesach ki tadir tam. That Bris Mila comes prior. If one has the option of doing the Bris or Karban Pesach first, he should do Bris Mila first because Bris Mila is tadir. How is it tadir? So Rashi explains it's mitzuya. He uses the term of the Gemara. The mitzuya. It's not really tadir. Tadir is only when a mitzvah comes at a regular pace. Mitzvah of Mila doesn't come at a regular pace, but it's mitzuya. It's more common than Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach can only come once a year. Bris Mila can happen every single day of the year. It can also not happen at all, Chas V'Shalom, but it does. But there's no set time. It's Mitsuya. It's more common. Svasem, if they write, I don't understand why Rashi is giving such a dach against her. He says that the mitzvah of Mila is a mitzvah tediris. It's a mitzvah that's constantly being fulfilled. It's not Mitsuya. It's constantly being fulfilled. Sheli Olam Roshim HaMitzvah B'Guf Adam. That the mitzvah, the bris mila, is always in a person, and he's constantly fulfilling that mitzvah. It's tadir every single day. We're mekayim the mitzvah every single day. There's a chiyuv to be mekayim every single day. It's not like other mitzvahs at the sfas emes where you pick up the mitzvah, you pick up the lulav and your yote, where it's just the ma'isa mitzvah. Bris mila is about being mahul, and when a person's mahul, he's mekayim the mitzvah every single day. So every single day of the year, we're mekayim the mitzvah. It's much more tadir. Karban Pesach is just once a year. Says Machlokas, Rashi told us how Rashi is fas emes, how to understand why Mila is tadir. Similarly, Rashi thinks that bris mila is a ma'isa mitzvah. So once you perform the mitzvah in the past, you're not yotze anymore. Ah, so why is it going to trump Karban Pesach? Because it's mitzuyah. Because it happens. It's pretty common that we have bris milas throughout the year. So this Machlokas, whether the mitzvah of mila is a din of the ma'isa or a din of the tzatzah to be mahul, is a Machlokas Rishon that we find based on the Gemara and Kedushin. The Gemara and Kedushin tells us that the woman, the mother, is not chayiv to give her son a bris mila. So the Gemara asks why. Ihi minolan delo mechayav. How do we know that the mother is not chayiv to perform the bris mila? The Pasuk says, Kashir tiva oso elokim, like Hashem commanded him, oso v'lo osa. The women are not chayiv to give bris milas, only the men are. So Tosfos and all the other Rishonim ask a question, why do you need a gzeir sakasif to exclude her? Mitzvah mila is a mitzvah asay, she has man grama. It only comes after the eighth day. You can only do it during the daytime. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Women are pater in mitzvahs aseis, shez man grama. What's the need for pasuk? The Tosa says, because one possibility is, you're right, once the eighth day comes, but after the eighth day, it doesn't end anymore, so it's constant. It's constant forever. There's a constant chiv until you give the son a bris mila. So he says, that's not a mitzvahs aseis, shez man grama. It's not time-bound. That's why women would be chayv, comes to pasuk, Kasher tiva oso, oso velo osa. But the Ritva says, no, it is a time-bound mitzvah. It's a mitzvah aseh shez man grama. Ah, so why do you need a pasuk? Because the Ritva explains that there's a havamina that women should be chayiv like a bezdin. The Gemara ends up saying that if the father doesn't perform the mitzvah, then bezdin has to perform the mitzvah. So maybe the mother could act as a shliach of bezdin and perform the mitzvah as well. Comes a pasuk to say, dichsiv oso velo osa. Women are excluded. But it is ve'etzem, it's a mitzvah aseh. Shez mangram. It is time-bound. You can only perform it after the eighth day. You can only perform it during the daytime. But then there's a famous Chuvas Maharach or Zeruah. Maharach or Zeruah says the mitzvah mila is the mitzvah to be mahu. And the Iker mitzvah is that we're constantly performing the mitzvah. It is a mitzvah asay shez mangrama. And that's the famous Gemara where David HaMelech was so mitzvah when he entered into the Beis HaMerchatz. He saw that he was Arim Bilo Mitzvah. He wasn't wearing talis, he wasn't wearing tefillin, he had no mitzvahs, he couldn't learn Torah. But then he remembered his bris mila, and he was mekayim the mitzvah, and that made him happy. Says the Maharach or Zeruah, must be, if the mitzvah mila was only in the ma'isa when he was 8 days old, so what made him happy that he has a bris mila now? The mitzvah took place 30 years ago. What's he being happy about? Why isn't he happy about the tefillin and talis he wore just 10 seconds ago before he left? So it's not about the ma'isa mitzvah. Says the Maharach or Zeruah, based on the Gemara, it must be that every moment when a person's mahal, you're being mekayim the mitzvah. So that's why it's not a mitzvah aseh shehaz man grama, because you're constantly being mahal. That's what Maharach or Zeruah says. But the Ritva says, no, it is a time bound. If it's about the ma'isa mitzvah, which once happened, that's only after the eighth day. It's only during the daytime, so then it is a mitzvah aseh shehaz man grama. But if you assume that Maharach or Zeruah, that's the mitzvah tmidis, so it's constant, then it's not time bound. We're constantly performing the mitzvah. But this machlokas, Ritva Maharach or Zeruah, is the same machlokas between Rashi and Sfas Emes, how to define whether bris mila is tadir or not tadir, whether it's mitzuya because we have often bris milas, or like the Sfas Emma says, it's tadir because we're constantly being mekayimit by being mahu. This machlok is also impacts another area, whether the mitzvah of milah is a maisa or being mahu. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, dafka v'lam and gimel and aleph, that when a person's osek in the bris milah, so if he stops and there's some sitzin, some of the leftover skin, that's ma'akev, the milah, it's not a good milah, so then you go back and you fix them, you cut them off. But if there's some sitzin that are left over, but it's not ma'akev, it's a good bris milah, so then the Gemara says you don't go back, you don't fix it. You're ready to go to the mitzvah. So the Torah right, that's referring to on Shabbos. During the week, of course you go back and fix it. On Shabbos, it's an isser. You can't violate, cut off the skin. It's a chabur on Shabbos, unless you're performing the mitzvah milah, milah's docher. But if the titin, the leftover skin, is not ma'akev, so then you would not be able to do this on Shabbos. But the Rambam says that no, even during the week, there's no need to go back. Why not? Why not make it beautiful? Make it a nice bris milah. So Beis Halevi says the machlokas, whether or not you should go back during the week or fix it or not, is telling this very machlokas. What does that mean? So he explains as follows. If you assume, like the Torah, that you're allowed to go back and fix it even during the week, because the idea of hiddur mitzvah, it's only during the shas of the milah. So being mahul, since the mitzvah is constantly to be mahul, so you're still, there's a din of hiddur mitzvah, making the mitzvah beautiful. But if the mitzvah of Maisa Mila, the mitzvah Mila is the Maisa Mila, already took place and you already been Yotze, the hiddur mitzvah is done. There's no hiddur to do anymore when the mitzvah is already in the past. So says the Beis Halevi, the Rambam assumes that the mitzvah of Mila is about the Maisa Mila. And since the Maisa Mila is over, there's no inyan of hiddur mitzvah when the Maisa is complete. Either way, we see there's a big machlokas what the nature of the mitzvah of Mila is. But everybody's in agreement that mitzvah of Mila is more tadir than Karban Pesach. So says the Gra along the same lines. The bris milah is more tadir than the shofar. And that's why we do the milah prior to the shofar. Either because the milah is more mitsuya, it can happen any given day, shofar is only once, twice a year, or because like the Sfas Emes, at bris milah, we're constantly performing the mitzvah, fulfilling the mitzvah, while being mahal. And says the Gra, that's the reason, because of tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir kodim, that's why we do the bris milah prior to tikiyah shofar. Beis Yosef quotes from the Sefer Okeach a different reason, doesn't explain so much, but he says the reason why, the third reason as to why we do the bris milah prior to tkiyas shofar is because when we read the Sefer Torah, the Shechina comes. The Shechina is Eitel HaTorah. So once the Shechina is there, it becomes very appropriate to do the bris milah in the context of the Sefer Torah. Now, if that's the case, it's a connection, nothing to do with the shofar. It's a connection to the Sefer Torah. So then in general, we should read the Sefer, and if a Monday and Thursday, if it takes place, or even on Shabbos, we should always do it right after Kriyas HaTorah. So we find such an opinion like this in the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen goes against such opinion. The Trumas HaDeshen was asked the following question. The Trumas HaDeshen was one of the later Rishonim who had these Shilas, and it's the Masorah that we have is that he wrote his own questions to himself. So the question that he was dealing with was, a Mila that happens on Purim, when should the Tinoch, when should the Bris Milah take place? That was the question he was dealt with. So he quotes one opinion that says they used to do the Bris Milah right after Kriyas HaTorah, before Kriyas HaMegillah. That's what was the suggestion. And it's based on this Sefer Rokeach, seemingly, that there's an Indian to do the Bris Milah right next to the Kriyas HaTorah. Because when we read the Sefer Torah in Shul, the Shechina is Eitel the Sefer Torah. So now is the appropriate time to do Bris Milah. So to a Megillah, push off Megillah, do the Milah before Megillah, and then after you've done the Bris Milah, then do Kriyas HaMegillah. So that's the third reason, the Shaychus of the Bris Milah to Kriyas HaTorah. But the Shulman Sadesh himself doesn't like this answer, and he says that's incorrect. The only time we do Bris Milah after Kriyas HaTorah, that's only in Rosh Hashanah. But not because the Bris Milah has anything to do with the Sefer Torah. It's because the Bris Milah has what to do with the shofar. That's something unique to Rosh Hashanah. And this is the fourth explanation as to why we do the Bris Milah between Kriyas HaTorah and the shofar. And the Trumas HaDeshen explains, because the reason is, that was the Seder that Avram did. First, Avram Avinu did the Bris, he received the Bris Milah. And then after receiving the Bris Milah, then he did the Akedah. So the Akedah, which is represented by the shofar, the aisle, which reminds us of the Akedah, reminds Hashem of the Akedah. So first we do the bris, like Avram Avinu, and then we blow the shofar in order of the events that took place with Avram Avinu. So it's because the bris milah is connected to the shofar. And that's the suggestion of the Trumas Hadeshen. That's the fourth suggestion, and this seems to be echoed by the Mishnah Berurah as well. The Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Dalet, Tov Lamul Kodem Tkiyas HaShofar, Kedei She'et Biyadam Zuchus HaMilah Beis Tkiyas HaShofar. Not as strong a formulation as the Trumas Hadeshen, but it's better to do the Bris Milah beforehand. So this way we have an extra Zuchus, at least the family has an extra Zuchus to go in with the Shofar. So it's somehow connected to the Tkiyas HaShofar. And along these lines, the Taz brings down, he heard from the Gaon, HaRav Moreinu Rabbeinu Feivish Mikrakow, that he had a custom when he would do the Bris Milah in Rosh Hashanah, and he'd do the Metzitza B'peh, and there'd be dam in his mouth, he wouldn't clean his mouth after the Metzitza B'peh. Rather, he wanted to use his dirty mouth with the dam HaPeh, Meluchlach B'dam, with the dam Milah, and talk of a shofar, and he'd blow the shofar with that blood in his mouth in order La'arev Mitzvahs Milah B'shofar, in order to join together, mix these two mitzvahs together, the milah and shofar, because they're so connected. It's the connection between the milah and shofar. That's why he had such a minah. Now, there are some halachic considerations in doing that. So the Shari Tshuva points out that one shouldn't do this, he quotes from the Dagam Rivava, because there's a chashash, let's say the dam, after it dries in the mouth of the shofar, so then it's going to be a chatitza, no different than if a person, like the Gemara says, puts some gold on the mouth part, the mouthpiece of the shofar, it's going to be chatitza, won't be good. So he had the same concern. If the blood were to dry up, it would be mamash a chatitza. So the Shari Tshuva himself responds back, he's not so concerned with this because it's not so much dam. It's a pet, doesn't draw up a lot of blood. It's a little lichluch, it's a little moisture of the dam, not really so much dam. It's not going to really turn into a chatitza, not to be concerned with this at all. Even though the Shari Tshuva just points out, parenthetically, even though normally the mohel is supposed to wash his hands and mouth in order to say bracha b'nikias, when it comes to this particular inyan, we're not so makbed in order to get this idea of mixing the bris milah, the dam milah, with the shofar. So we see, to recap for a moment, there are four different reasons as to why we do tekiyas shofar prior to, rather, bris milah prior to tekiyas shofar. Either because it's in and of zrizim makadimim lemitzvos, we should do it earlier because if we wait until after shul, we might go after chatos. Or because of the idea brought down by the gra, that's tadir v'shino tadir tadir kodem, that the bismillah is more tadir than the shofar, that's why we do it first. Or, like the Sefer Rokeach writes, we want to put it right after the Kriyas HaTorah. There's a connection because with Kriyas HaTorah there's a shechina, and we want to do the bris milah in front of the shechina if we can. And then the fourth suggestion is the Trumas Hadeshen, that there's a strong correlation between the shofar and kriyas hatorah, and rather bris milah and the shofar. So there's an apka mina. Pima Gadon talks about a situation, let's say on Shabbos, there's a bris milah on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, where there is no shofar. So then what should you do? If there's no shofar, so there's no inyan, it may just wait until after davening. There's no shofar to connect it to. So it depends on the different reasons. If it's all about the connection to the shofar, so there's no connection to the shofar, you wait till afterwards. If it's about chatzos, not getting chatzos, so then maybe you should do it earlier, before Musa, because you're still concerned, you might go after chatzos. If it's about the connection to the Sefer Torah, so then you should do it still also after Sefer Torah, before Musa, because the Shekhinah is there. If it's about tadir, shino tadir, tadir kodim, so then there's no shofar here, there's no inyan of tadir, so then it should be after davening. So it seems to be, it's an afkamina. Well, the reason is, what do you do on Shabbos? So the Prima Gadon writes is that one should first say Ashrei, and then do Bris Milah, and then do Yihalu, and return the Sefer Torah. He thought to do it then, because his concern was also, if you wait until after the base, after you leave Shul, it might still be after Chatzos. He goes according to that understanding. But the other svaras, the other reasons would dictate otherwise, perhaps. Now, what happens, we have a concept of Zrizus and other considerations. What about the Tircha, the Tzibur, the Tircha of the Mohel, waiting for people to come from other shuls? Is that a factor to take into account? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that Mokum Shinogin Lamul Bebeis Shatinok Sham, some customs they had to go to the house where the baby was. It was dangerous to take the child out, could have been cold. So if that custom was go to that house, so then you should be Malin Achi Tiyah Mebeis Knesses, Shelo Yehe Tircha the Tzibur. It's a tremendous Tircha that, okay, we just finished landing. Everyone now slept to this person's house several minutes away. Go do the milah and then go back to shul. It's a tremendous tircha. So a person should not do that. In that case, you should wait until after davening to perform the bris milah. Unless he says the house isn't so far, so then the shul, if it's next door, let's say, so then you could leave shul, go to the house, do the bris milah, and go back. But if it's any level of tircha the tzibur, a person should do away with the milah before shofar and wait until after shul is over. Tzitz Eliezer deals with the situation, could you push it off in general after chatos in order to have a hiddur, in order to have more people come, chashu people to come? So he says that the zrizim is, we don't push off zrizis because of berov am. So just because of berov am, so we're not going to push off. But if it's an issue of tircha, that's a tremendous tircha for everybody, so then one would do this. One would push it off. So that's what we're doing in the two minyan, because of all the different factors of the timing. We both get to 10:15 is tkiyah shofar. We can't do both bris milahs at the same time. We have one mole. So based on many considerations, we decided that downstairs we'll do it during davening and upstairs we'll do it after davening. And there's who to rely on for both. I want to speak for a moment some of the machshava about the connection between the shofar and the milah. The Gemara tells us in Ksubis, Rav Chaviva Iklei Lebei Mehula. Rav Chaviva once visited a bris milah, and Baruch Shesimcha B'Mo'ono. Like we say in Sheva Brachos, we say Shesimcha B'Mo'ono, he thought to do the same thing for bris milah. But last Hilchas HaKavase, the Gemara says, we don't pass in that way, we do not say Shesimcha B'Mo'ono at a bris milah. Mishum de Tridei, and the Islei Tzara HaLiyanuka. The child is undergoing this tremendous about the Tzar. The child is crying. There's no place for a Shia Simcha B'mono. We see the Simcha B'mono, there is some Simcha hidden in the Bris Milah. Hidden behind, there's some Simcha that's there. B'mono, in the abode, somewhere hidden above. But since there's all this crying, Tzar Liyanuka, we can't say Shia Simcha B'mono. And that's why many say there's no Shechianu at a Bris Milah, because there's no Simcha, because the Tzar Liyanuka, the pain, the crying of the child. The Ben Yishchai writes, if a tzibur is going through a tsar, a terrible tsara, we shouldn't know of. If it happens that there's a bris milah during those days, tov shiyomru hatzibur yud gimel midas shel rachmim bekavana bein mila lepriya, the davar mesugo. That moment when the child's crying, sometimes the mole announced that when you hear the child cry, it's a shas rachmim, it's time to daven. The Ben Yishchai writes, that's the time to daven. You should say, Yud Gimel Midas Sherachim as a tzibur, as an individual. We don't say this. We ask our own personal bakashas. But if the tzibur says it, they say, Yud Gimel Midas Sherachim. The Sfarim have such a custom to do this. Dafka ben Mila Lepriya. That moment of the crying of the child. Mamish when it's Tzar Liyanuka. Mamish when the crying is coming out. That's the greatest rachim, says the Ben Yishchai. The Sfas Emes takes it a step further. He says, we know the Gemara tells us that Gedola Mila Shenichosu Aleh Shlosh Esrei Brisos. So great is the Bris Milah that 13 Brisos, 13 covenants were established over the Bris Milah. He says that these 13 Midos are connected to the Yirgim Midos Shirachimim. There's this idea of Rachimim during the Bris Milah. The Yirgim Midos Shirachimim correspond to the Yirgim Midos, Yirgim Brisos rather. And they say, through the Yirgim Midos Shirachimim, Ubo Sidbak, we're going to be Dovik with Hashem's Midos. We're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos. We're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachman. The Bris Milah, the Yud Gimel Brisos, we're connecting to Hashem, Dafka through Rachman, following His attributes. So the idea is through the crying of the Bris Milah, that somehow uncovers that Simcha B'Ma'ona. It's a place of Rachman. We know also that the shofar is also crying. The shear of a shofar, where it tells us, Gnuche Gonach, some say Yula Yadil, some say it's an expression of sighing, exhaustion. Others say that the Lashon of Tshuva is Yalul, a Yadil, to cry, to have tears. The Tekiya Shofar is also Tsar Liyanuka, the pain of the child, the pain of Klai Yisrael, of crying. The Kutei Lachos, Rabbi Nosson writes that the sighing and the expression of exhaustion is about the crying of the mind, the machshava, and the actual tears, the real crying, is a crying over the maisa. The machshava, the maisa, we're crying about that. That's what the tekiyah shofar is about. It's all about getting us to cry. And that's why on Shabbos, there's no tekiyah shofar, because Shabbos itself allows us to cry. What does that mean? Shulchan Aruch writes, a person gets oneg on Shabbos from crying, he's allowed to cry. That's his oneg. So the Taz writes that because of the dveikus that we have with the Kadosh Baruch on Shabbos, that we're so connected, like the Zohar writes, we're so connected and we feel the pain of the Shechina, that allows us to cry because we're so close to Hashem. But the Taz says we can't cry about just stam things. We're supposed to cry about the tsar of the Shechina. We're so connected. So it says, I'm sure we don't need that replacement. We don't need the shofar to help us cry, to serve as the tears for us. Shabbos itself serves as those tears in Rosh Hashanah for us. On Shabbos, when we're completely removed from the Gashmias, we're much more connected to the Shechina, and the feel that tzar, the Shechina, makes it easier for us to cry. That's why there's no shofar on Shabbos. The Shari Dimos Lo Ninalu, the Gemara tells us, the gates of the tears are not closed yet. We need to tap into those gates of Dimos. So just like the Bris Milah is about crying, so too shofar is about crying. But during that crying, we say in the Nusach of the Bracha, Shomea Kol Truas Amo Yisrael Berachmim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to our cries, listen to our tears, because that's the Shas Rachmim. Like with the child crying in the Bris Milah, during that tzar, that's when there's that Rachmim. During the shofar, the crying of the shofar, that's when there's that Rachmim. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. But that Din is really a concealment. It's covering the tremendous Rachmim that's hidden within the day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the idea of Bekesel Yom Chagenu. Rosh Hashanah is Kes, it's covered. It's covered by Din. But if we remove that cover, we remove that Kisoy, the Rachmim is within. We need to remove that Kisoy, the outer cover. And how do you remove that Kesa, that Kisoy? How do you remove that Din? By Tkiyas Shofar. And by crying. The Tkiyas Shofar, the Svarim tell us, is the Bris Milah. It's removing of the Kisoy. Like the Bris Milah removes the Arla, the Tkiyas Shofar removes the Kisoy. It uncovers, removes the Din. And through all that crying, it removes all that Din and exposes the Rachmim. Becomes a Shas Rachmim. A time where we say, Yud Gimel Nidal Sharachmim. We daven for Bakashos during the Bris Milah. We daven for Bakashos during the crying of Tkiyas Shofar. When we're removing that Arla, that Kesel Yom Chagenu. We're removing that Din. Gemar says that the Shofar is Chachma. It's not Malacha. The Shofar is a Chachma. And the idea of a Chachma, Chachma and Bina, is to be able to remove and separate the good and bad, to separate the Din from Rachman, separate the Arla from the Mila. Mila is also a Chachma. When you remove something, it's not a Malacha, it's a Chachma. That's why we could do Mila on Shabbat. It's not a Malacha, it's a Chachma. So both Shofar and Mila are Chachmas, where it removes something, it separates things. It separates that Kesa Yom Chagenu. Rosh Hashanah is also about Chachma. Reishis Hashanah, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is about Chachma, the beginning. And Amalek is also the Reishis Hashanah. Amalek is the Klipa of Reishis. Every beginning has a Klipa. A Klipa of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, that Chachma, is the Klipa of the Chachma, is really Amalek. So what the Shofar does is it removes that Klipa. It removes Amalek from the Reishis. It exposes that Chachma for the Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. And the Gematria of Bekesel Yom Chagenu is the Gematria of Amalek. That Kesel Yom Chagenu, that covering is Amalek. So through the Tkiyas Shofar, we're removing it. We're exposing that Chachma. The Shofar is Vipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim. The Shofar is a breath. It gives us strength. It gives us the ability to believe, to breathe. It gives us life. So too the Bris Milah gives life to the child. It infuses the child with the neshama. It removes the bad, removes the klipos, removes the arla, removes the amalek, and it gives life. Life to us. Vayipach bapav nishmas chaim gives life to the child of the Bris Milah. So with all that cry, with that tsar liyanuka, with all the dimos and all the tkiyas shofar, we get rezocha to a shas racham. Remove that din. There's a heart-wrenching story brought down by Rabbi Shaya Bordiki, a Talmud, Rav Chaim Velazhin. And Rav Yishai wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to go there to Israel from Europe, from Volozhin. And he had sent his wife in front of him to go organize things. And she went and took care of, found a house, put everything together. And when the time was ready, she sent a message back to Yishaya, now's the time, you could come. We're ready for you, the house is prepared. So Yishaya and his son and daughter, the ages of 7 and 8, began the journey to Eretz Yisrael. And they mounted on a boat that was going to take several weeks to go to get to Eretz Yisrael. And 16 people squeezed onto this boat with that same cheshek to make Aliyah. And they were traveling for a couple of weeks, and then they encountered a tremendous storm out at sea. And the boat started to rock, big waves crashing up against. And finally, the boat split into two. And Yishai was able to quickly lift his children, his son and daughter, onto his shoulders, onto his back. He began to swim to the direction he thought he needed to make it to. There's no land in sight. An hour passed while he's swimming, schlepping his kids. His strength is beginning to weaken. He says, if I continue this way, there's no way any of us are going to make it. I can't pull them anymore. He begins to think to himself what his options are. So if I throw one of the kids in, let them go, so I could last, I could live with one of the kids. Better to save two than none. He and one of the kids. Remember the mission Horios that says there's Kedimus. A Kohen goes before a Levi goes before Yisrael, and a Ben called him Labas. The son goes before the daughter. Because the child's Chayvin, the son's Chayvin Liman HaTorah. So Abishai started to explain this to his children. When his daughter heard these words, she accepted the Gzar Din. She understood what her father paskened. And she began to cry and say, Shema Yisrael, knowing that the end was soon. So the father strengthened his hands, holding on to them tightly as he swam, kicking his feet. But slowly as he weakened, he began to let go of his daughter Leah's hand. Let's go, one of them. And begins to loosen her hand, taking it off the second hand. As she felt her body sinking, she belted out, Tati, Tati, Rachem Alai. Have mercy on me, don't let me go. Don't throw me in. And when Yishai heard these screams, he's never heard before, the screeching, his daughter crying, who's full of Ava. His leg was full of Ava, this love for his daughter. And this Rachman for his daughter. And even though he had no strength left, he was able to push himself to swim more, holding on to his children. And each time this happened, he got weak. He said, I can't do this anymore. My muscles are hurting. He began to remove her hands from him. And she said, Abba, Abba, Tati, Tati. And each time he heard those cries, it gave him more strength, more love. And each time he got weak, she screamed again, built up more strength. And finally, he's getting closer, he saw a little light from the distance. Some light, which he knew that meant that the shore was soon, was close. And he had that last amount of adrenaline, and pushed himself, and swam, and got to the shore, and passed out on the floor. His children began to try to wake him up, give him energy, pinch him, throw water on him. Finally, he shook out of it. Started to open his eyes. His daughter Leah comes over to him and says, Tati, Tati, thank you so much. Thank you so much for saving me, for not letting me die. Rabbi Shai said, I didn't save you. It wasn't me. You saved yourself. I got to a point I couldn't handle anymore. I had no strength. I couldn't hold on to you anymore. When I heard those screams of Abba, Abba, those screams that you were saying, Tati, Tati, you gave me more strength. Your screaming gave me more strength. Strength I never could have imagined. Rabbi Shaya returned to Yerushalayim. He got to Yerushalayim and he told over the story. It's a tremendous Musar and Chizuk, he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given up on us. We don't deserve the Rachman. We require Din. Bekesh al Yom Chagenu. But the more we scream, the Bris Milah, the Tzar Liyanuka, before Shofar, the Tkia Shofar, the crying, the Genuche, the exhaustion, the Yilule, the crying, the tears, our davening, the more we cry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with love. And He can't give us that Din. He removes that Din. He removes the Kesh Liyom Chagenu. He removes that Amalek. And He grants us rachamim. And mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha. In the shul, of zocha to two bris milas, two tzar liyanukas. In klai yisrael, we shall be zocha through our davening, through our crying, through tkiyas shofar, to be zocha to a year of rachamim. A year of coming to Mashiach, where all din ends, and we see only rachamim. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Yiksivich simatovra, a good ben shirah.